All right, welcome back to Sports Central. I love talking about money. I wish I had more money. I know our next guest wishes he had more money. Many of you wish you had more money, but I don't. But I enjoy talking about it. I've spent hours upon hours talking about money with regards to the Pittsburgh Pirates over the last 11 years on the radio. We're going to talk money with regards to Penn State. And what is the difference between football and basketball at Penn State? Ben Jones from statecollege.com joins us. He does a great job covering Penn State football, and he also does a great job covering Penn State basketball. There are only a few people that, you know, to be honest with you, give a damn from a media perspective about Penn State basketball the way Ben does. Mark Brennan, Nate Bauer. I've always kind of considered myself in that realm, even though I've not been able to cover Penn State as much as I've wanted to over the years when I was with the Altoona Mirror. But Ben, I appreciate you joining us. You're a smart guy. You like talking about money, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's good to dream about the things you want and discuss them.
Well, I'm going to have a multi-layered discussion here going back to the Brandon Short, Jay Paterno thing a week and a half ago. So Brandon Short says you can't get a better return on our investment than spending it on football and voting for $48 million to be spent on football facilities. Jay Paterno voted against it because spending that kind of money during a pandemic didn't feel right to him. Now, I made the point, Ben, that, look, there's never a bad time to invest in Penn State football because for a sheer return on investment, is there anything that school can put its money in that will have a better return than football?
No. I mean, obviously, you know, that is where the money comes from, and that is where you've got to invest your resources. You know, I think Jay Paterno's argument is a reasonable one. You know, I think any time that Penn State spends a lot of money on football or goes and fundraises, since a lot of these things are paid for through philanthropy, you know, you can say, well, is this our best use of money? And I think if you're Penn State, a lot of the times the answer is, at least as it pertains towards athletics, the answer is yes. Now, if you want to say, look, we're losing a ton of money as an athletic department, we don't have a lot of money to spend, and maybe we should worry about short-term and long-term sustainability, how much money is enough money, how much money is too much money, you know, that seems reasonable, but I do think that Brandon Short in the long run is right, that, you know, you invest money in Penn State football, and at the end of the day, that money is going to come back to you. And right now, you know, the answer to your financial woes isn't sitting on the money. It's spending some of it smartly, and where you spend it smartly for Penn State athletics is the football program.
So let's compare that to basketball. Patrick Chambers made about $1 million a year, maybe a little bit more. I have good reason to believe that Brent Pry, the defensive coordinator at Penn State, regardless of what his base salary is, of I think it's $700,000, I have good reason to believe that Brent Pry makes $1.5 million or even more. I think there's every reason to believe that Mike Yurcich is making $1.5 million. These are the two coordinators at Penn State. Both make more than the basketball coach at Penn State, and they're going to be looking for a new basketball coach, and I doubt they're going to pay either one of them more than Brent Pry or Mike Yurcich. What do you make of just that component, that two coordinators for the football program are going to make more than the men's basketball coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just comes down to – well, it comes down to a lot of things. It's what will the market bear, and for football programs like Penn State, that is the going rate for guys like Brent Pry and Mike Yurcich, so you pay what you got to pay for them. You know, the other side of that is, again, it's return on investment. And I think, you know, there are the dedicated Penn State basketball fans that have long said, look, if we just spend money on Penn State basketball and we go and hire a you know, not a James Franklin type of hire, but something that will make a substantial splash in the thinking of that program, that things might change. And I think, you know, that is not an unreasonable argument to be made, but I think at the end of the day, you figure that, you know, Penn State is going to be located where it's located. Penn State basketball fans are going to be located where they're located. And we've seen pretty much on a regular basis that even when Penn State is really good, you know, even you look back 2 years ago when they're ranked in the top 10, you know, it's the weekend games that get a lot of people. It's some of those well-placed weekday games, but Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock, you know, you're not getting people from Harrisburg unless, you know, Penn State basketball becomes a quote unquote thing for a long time to make that trip. So when you spend a lot of money on a head coach, you know, you want to get that back, you know, either through success, but that's not really something that pays the bills unless people show up. So there's a lot of things there. And I think really, you know, it just kind of goes to show that, you know, every dollar that you spend on Penn State basketball, the dollar you don't spend on Mike Yurcich.
Exactly.
Or James Franklin. And that's really the challenge right now.
Ben Jones from statecollege.com. And that's exactly what I wanted to get into. You've looked at these numbers. Penn State basketball makes about $4 million a year, $5 million a year. Do you know exactly which one it is? In that neighborhood, $4 to $5 million a year, right?
It's in that neighborhood. A lot of it comes from TV, but to their credit, they've done a better job putting butts in seats the last few years as well.
If Penn State basketball goes 14-18, it's going to make $4 to $5 million a year. If Penn State basketball goes 20-13, isn't it basically going to make $4 to $5 million a year? I mean, is there any reason to believe? Now, I'm talking about for a one-year deal. If it were like that for 10 years, maybe. But in a one-year deal, is Penn State basketball really going to make a substantial amount more money with five more wins?
No, and that is the sort of existential crisis that every Penn State basketball coaching search faces.
Okay. So that leads me to this. A few days ago, Penn State hired Dow Loggins, a guy with 7 years' experience as an NFL offensive coordinator, an NFL offensive coordinator. Now, it was with some bad teams, including the New York Jets, but they just hired him as an offensive analyst. We don't know exactly how much money he is going to get paid. I reached out to some people, kind of did a little bit of research. Ben, I think we're probably talking 75 to 100 grand a year. That sound reasonable to you for an offensive analyst who's been a 7-year NFL offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, I'd take the gig for that money.
Okay. Danny O'Brien was hired yesterday, former college quarterback at Maryland and Wisconsin. He was a running backs coach with the BC Lions of Canadian Football League. Probably less money, but 50, 60 grand seems pretty reasonable. So in the past 4 days, Penn State has taken on, give or take, roughly $125,000 to $150,000 in offensive analysts for the football team, which again has an offensive coordinator that probably makes more than $1.5 million, and a defensive coordinator that makes more than $1.5 million, and a head basketball coach who's probably going to be paid about $1 million. So again, they're spending about $125,000 or even more to hire two offensive analysts that we'll never hear from. We will never hear from these guys. They will be completely behind the scenes. They will do tremendous work. I have no doubt about it. They will make an impact. They just won't be in the public eye. So therefore, if you're in the Penn State basketball program, Ben, don't you kind of shake your head and say, really? I mean, look, and we'll talk both sides of this too, especially return on investment. But how do you think the Penn State basketball program feels about hires like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there is always going to be a frustration with that program for a lot of different reasons. Some of them, you know, rightfully, and some of them just the way that life works at Penn State. But I imagine, you know, that you probably, if you're Penn State basketball, at some point had similar feelings as, you know, Pagula Ice Arena goes up across the street and you go, you know, that's a very, very nice building. Where is our new nice building? And you can say whatever you want about the Jordan Center, but it's not a bad place to play basketball, all things considered. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's frustrating, but I think at the same time, you know, it goes back really to the theme of all of this is where do you want to spend your money? Where is it going to come back to you? And what is important to you? Because at the end of the day, we all make decisions with our money and we end up spending it on the things that are most important to us.
Yeah. And that's why I think this is a good discussion. Ben's a great person to talk about all this because he gets it. He understands it. You want to see the Penn State basketball program do well, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it would sure beat – I had more fun covering the team last year than I have this year.
So absolutely. I'd like to see it. I've said for 6 years on this program when we do shows about what's the one thing we'd like to see in sports more than anything else, my number one has been for Penn State to be a perennial NCAA. So we can have something to talk about today. It's March 2nd. I can't talk Penn State basketball today. Nobody gives a crap. They're done. They're out of it. But in years where they won the NIT or were in the NCAA, people – I mean, it's fun. It's exciting. I love my college hoops. People can get excited about it. But the difference between Penn State football and Penn State basketball is this, what we've been talking about. You can spend money on Penn State football, and you will see a legitimate return and you'll get that money back, which helps you pay for 31 other sports as the cash cow. I would love to go see them spend $2 million on a basketball coach. The candidate pool, here's the thing, Ben. I've done a list. I'm sure you've done some lists. Dave Jones has some lists out there of candidates. Do you know what? Do you know what I've heard from fans about these candidate pools? They're not interested. They don't care about these coaches. They've never heard of them. Dennis Gates might be a good coach. James Jones might be a good coach. John Becker from Vermont is a very good coach. Fans have never heard of them. They're not common names in college basketball. These guys are making $400,000 and $500,000 a year. They're not sexy names that anybody knows. They're not going to move the needle for the Penn State fan base. So therefore, when you're going to pay a guy $1 million, you're going to get a coach that most fans are while the coach might end up doing a tremendous job, don't get me wrong, because there are a lot of these coaches that could come in here and do great work. It took Pat Chambers a long time, but he actually did really good work. But if you could pay $2 million, Ben, don't you have a candidate pool with a hell of a lot more known commodities that could maybe move the needle with the fan base?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you're right. And I think that's had for a long time been my argument against people that had wanted Penn State to move on from Pat Chambers, because there's a very good possibility that Penn State hires a different version of Pat Chambers,
right,
circa 10 years ago, in terms of an up-and-coming assistant, be that in the Big Ten or elsewhere, or an up-and-coming head coach at a smaller school that says, this is my opportunity to coach in one of the two best, conferences in America. But again, you know, I mean, we have seen Penn State basketball, you know, you can move the needle with the hire, but at the end of the day, you know, how much fans get excited for this coach will last a few weeks, and then the season will come here and people will watch, and if they're good, it won't matter if they'd ever heard of the guy because they'll show up anyway.
But
the problem is, you know, you've got to get people to come, and that has always been the challenge for Penn State basketball, and I think sort of the struggle that has come financially for them is, you know, they've had pretty good teams. They've had pretty good players. They've had fun, likable guys to watch, but, you know, you're not going to get your money back if nobody actually buys those tickets, if nobody pays for parking, if nobody goes to the concession stand. So, you know, if you're Sandy Barber, I think you want to make a hire that excites people, but at the same time, I think, you know, and with all due respect, I think there's a lot of Penn State fans that sort of exist in the entitlement of what Penn State football is, and this idea that Penn State should just have top of the line everything simply because that's what it's like in football. And you know, certainly Ohio State has done well with that, Clemson and Florida State, and a lot of different schools have, you know, Michigan and Michigan State have done well with these things. But, you know, the fact of the matter is Penn State basketball is a lot more like Rutgers football than, you know, anything else. And that's difficult because you've got to play really good teams every night. And I'm sort of wandering off, but it is the challenge definitely with this hire is, what's the hire that makes the most financial sense? What's the hire that makes the most excitement sense? And at the end of the day, what's the hire that in the long run is going to get you where you want to go.
Exactly. And there are coaches out there. Again, I'll throw out John Becker from Vermont. He's done a phenomenal job. He's like 230 and 95 or something. I mean, he's done a great job. He could probably come here. But without any great high school basketball players within 100, 150 miles of State College, it's challenging. You got to go in and steal recruits from other people. So anyway, we'll kind of wrap this up with, I'd say this. I would absolutely love to sit here and say, spend more money on basketball. Spend more money on get an arena, get an 8,000 seat arena, 9,000 seat arena. Spend more money on a coach. I ultimately can't do it because I don't think there's a return there. Like if you spend again, Penn State's gone out and spent $125,000, $150,000 in the last 4 days on two football analysts. You'll never hear from again, basically, except for when we in the media write about, you know, what their impact might be, and yet, if you could just spend a few hundred thousand dollars more for a men's basketball coach, that candidate pool is now becomes a lot larger.
Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, the other side of that coin too is if you're Sandy Barber, if you don't want to spend that money on a coach, I think you have to be strategic in the ways that you upgrade the program. I think people would be shocked to hear the number of behind the scenes things that just didn't exist when Pat got the job.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't exist when Ed had the job or even Jerry Dunn then. I think if you're going to spend your money, you know, facilities recruit, and recruiting is how you win games, and how you win games is how you get good coaches. So I think it all feeds into itself. It's definitely a challenge, and I do not envy Sandy, the decision that's coming up, you know, sooner rather than later, but it's definitely, you know, the ongoing, I think 30 years from now, if we're fortunate enough to still be alive and doing all of this, we'll still be having this conversation.
Yeah, that's right. This conversation. And I think you are absolutely right. They have done some good things behind the scenes to put more into it. But I also think people would be shocked and stunned and, quite frankly, embarrassed if they found out how much money Penn State's assistant basketball coaches were making compared to other coaches of major programs. It's not just the head coach making $1 million when other coaches are making 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's, you know, you throw out some of these numbers to the assistant coaches that you hear, and that just makes it difficult. So again, I got to be thinking, if I'm Keith Ergo and I see them hiring an NFL offensive coordinator as an NFL analyst, as a football analyst, that's going to rub me a little bit the wrong way. But you know what? Again, I think we've kind of covered that pretty well. Ben, I appreciate it, buddy. I hope you find some more money. I hope I find some more money. Don't take any unpaid internships. How about that?
Yeah, I got to respond to a few Nigerian princes in my emails, so I'm going to get back to that after this.
That's fantastic. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for having me, Corey.